Hey, what's up? I'm Nick Russo.
Hey, I'm Aaron Austin.
Welcome back to our Country Not Country podcast. On this episode, we start off by talking about Lauren Elena's ex-boyfriend, John Crist, who has now canceled his tour because of inappropriate relationships with women on social media.
He was getting nasty. Then we talk about Miranda Lambert and how I talked to her about many of things, but one of them being her husband. And then we transfer that conversation into talking naughty with Kenny Chesney.
Yeah, and then that goes into Tim McGraw's new book, which I'm going to try to read before we record the next podcast.
Okay, sounds good.
Here we go. Your mic's working, my mic's working. We're just going to go for this. You ready, Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to shoot from the hip. So the breaking country news today was about the guy, the country Christian comedian, or just a Christian comedian, right?
I think so, yeah.
John Crist.
Mm-hmm.
So he was Lauren Elena's ex-boyfriend. Apparently, they're still best friends, according to another interview that they've had.
Really?
Yeah, she said, well, when she broke up, because she's on Dancing with the Stars now, so before she went on the show, she went on another radio person's show to talk about the breakup. Well, talked about Dancing with the Stars, but said that they were best friends before they got together, and it didn't work out, and they're still best friends.
Interesting.
So
sounds like there's a lot of stuff we're missing there, but whatever.
So the reason we're talking about him is because today he issued a statement where he canceled the rest of his tour and said he was going to take a break to recover emotionally, mentally, or something like that. We can find the actual statement real quick. So I just typed in John.
Wait, but he's canceling it because of what? Because admitting to multiple sexual sins. What?
Yes. So So check this out. I typed his name into Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phone's ringing. People already want to know about this. So I typed his name into Twitter to find the article, right? Or find an article. And the first article or first thing I see is a tweet from a girl named Kelsey. She says, John Crist used to send me random Snapchat videos of himself masturbating all the time, and no one believed me because he was a Christian comedian, quote unquote. Sounds about right now, huh? So I went to her page, and she quoted her own tweet from May 4th and said, I'm not going to mention names, but there's a Christian comedian who's really exploding lately. It's hard for me to watch him because 2 years ago he was snapping me videos of him masturbating. So, yeah, it's weird seeing my grandma share his videos. And she quoted that tweet from May 4th saying, yep, I was talking about John Crist. And whenever when I found out about the relationship, I had reached out to Lauren Elena through a tweet, I think, and like congratulated her. Hey, hope you know, wish for the best for you guys. You know,
even though let's be honest, you weren't.
Yes, I was.
No, you weren't.
I always wish the best for everybody.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just wanted her to know that I supported her in no matter what decision she makes,
uh-huh.
like a good friend would.
Okay.
And the point is that I immediately got replies from, like, women lambasting him. Oh, do you know about his sexual blah, 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 and how he, like, immediately I saw that under her tweet where she talked about him, too, it was like people were just going right at the jugular, like, accusing him of, like, sexual misconduct.
Wow.
Immediately.
Well, that's probably one reason why their relationship didn't work out, because if you put it out for the universe and all of a sudden you're getting that stuff back.
Immediately.
I mean, I'm being a girl.
What would you do?
Well, it definitely sends, like, it plants a seed of doubt. So, like, in the back of your mind, you're like, am I, like, seeing something that, or missing something? So,
like, what do I not know about your life?
Yeah.
Or are you gaslighting me?
Yeah.
So, funny you say that, because in his little spiel or whatever, mm-hmm. Here, I'll read the apology. It said, over the past number of years, various women have accused me of behavior that has been hurtful to them. While I'm not guilty of everything I've been accused of, I confess to being guilty of this. I've treated relationships with women far too casually, in some cases recklessly. My behavior was destructive and sinful. I sinned against God, against women, and the people I love most. I violated my own Christian beliefs, convictions, and values, and hurt many people in the process. I'm sorry for the hurt and pain I've caused these women. I will continue to seek their forgiveness. I've also hurt the name of Jesus and have sought his forgiveness. He added, he's committed to getting healing and freedom from his sin and have decided to cancel his remaining tour dates, to postpone all future commitments in order to devote his time and energy on getting healthy spiritually, mentally, and physically. Those closest to me, my family, team, close friends, have known about this battle for some time. Now you do too.
And then he says, I'm ashamed of my behavior and I'm sorry for hurting so many people.
My entire career has been lived out on stage, even though I've shared my life and my struggles. I've lived in constant fear of the darkest parts of my being exposed publicly. My greatest fear has been that those who have loved and supported me would hate me if they knew everything about me. I now humbly seek forgiveness and mercy and love now just for me, not just for me, but for those I've hurt along the path. I'm so sorry. I believe him, though.
Yeah.
Doubt. Like, and it's probably, you know, like, because everyone has a dark side.
Well, and here's the thing. So, we've talked about this before, you and I, and how because you'll have had people send you pictures, and I know that I've had people send me pictures, and I thought, wow, like, I can't ever do that.
Yeah, it's really hard to admit publicly that you've sent naked pictures, but let's be real, I've done it before, hopefully they're not screenshotted and saved somewhere waiting for the day that I quote unquote make it, and someone's like, look what he sent me, you know what I mean? Because I never did it. I never feel like I crossed the line of, like, unwelcomed. I've never sent multiple naked pictures to multiple women at once, which sounds like what he did.
Well, and I think a lot of guys do. Like, there has been times where...
Wait, you think guys send out multiple women their penis pictures?
Oh, heck yes.
See, I will admit that anytime I've gotten risque and texting like that, it's been...
With one person?
Yes, and we're both into it.
Okay. I definitely don't think that... the guys that I have received those pictures from have only sent it to me. And I was like, oh, this is convenient. No. Maybe that says something about the guys that I've picked that send pictures like that. But, I definitely think guys send it to multiple girls.
Because before it was so prevalent,
especially on Snapchat.
Yeah, I think in the early days, I probably did, but it was, like, even worse. It was through text. You know what I mean? Probably has, like, a slew of them. One of the girls I dated at one point, But it was mutual. It was a way of being intimate without being with each other.
Right. Well, yeah. In this case, I don't think...
And I'm proud to say I don't even sext anymore.
Oh, good. Congratulations. Good for you.
Well, you just never want, like,
that's a slippery slope. So what I was trying to say, I guess, is, he is in the public eye. I don't know why. I mean, A, it's never a good idea. I just don't think sending pictures like that is ever a good idea.
It never is, no.
I mean, you know what? As my mama always told me, be sure your sins will find you out. And it's going to happen. So, like, if you... have ever had
John Christ is the example.
Exactly.
And it's Numbers 23:32, I think. And the only reason I know that is because of a Jim Carrey movie. Uh-huh. It was where he was like the crazy guy. And I think it was called Numbers or the number 23 or something like that. And it was like him and his son and his wife. And he became obsessed with this author and this book. And he had to like find the mystery. And it turned out that it was his alter ego that wrote the book. And it was like he had killed someone and buried him, and then he tried to hide it and wrote the book as the story to try to throw people off the trail. But he kept seeing the number 23 everywhere, and then in the Bible it's Numbers 23:32. I believe it's your sins will seek you out.
Mm. Okay, I was like, where is he going with this?
Yeah.
All right, you wrapped it around.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I never think it's a good idea, and what's funny when you talk about the girl that says, oh, I have this video of him, playing with himself.
Sent me this.
Yeah. It's like, I can't tell you how many times it's been guys do that. Like, I can think of a guy I dated that would send me those pictures and videos, and he was secretly chit-chatting with his ex-girlfriend, and he was sending that stuff to her too. And it's like, oh girl, if you only knew.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't be talking to him right now. What I mean?
Yeah, and I think that in a way, like, I guess it's like he got so much attention, and the truth is he probably did it because women also reciprocated it. Not trying to defend him, but I'm saying that who's to say what that lady sent him was he cold sending Snapchat dick pics? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that what it was? Or was she engaged?
Reciprocal?
You're so handsome. I love the way you look. Oh, can I see a little more? Then he sends his picture and he thinks that he's welcome. So he starts doing it more often, thinking she enjoys it, and I'm not saying, I'm not speaking for this woman. And I just want to make that clear. Like, I'm not saying that's what happened, but I'm saying if this happened with multiple women where he was sending lots of videos and pictures, chances are there was some reciprocation. It's hard for me to believe that it was just a one-way street of him just out slinging, X-rated Snapchats around wondering who's going to send it back. Like, there had to be, like, a celebrity Snapchat? Like, I don't even know how to do that.
I don't know,
like,
either.
Clearly, they were Snapchat friends, right? Because I doubt it was like, oh, I saw this girl on Instagram and she had her Snapchat name, so I added her and sent her a penis picture. Like,
yeah.
I can't see him going down that route,
But, I mean, people have egos, and so I can you know, and men, I think, sometimes get very proud of their man piece.
Well, they call it an ego for a reason.
Yeah. And I can definitely think that the person that would send me those pictures, he was very proud of his manhood. He was, love showing that thing. Every day, I think I got one. I was like, geez, Louise. I mean.
That's so weird if you think about it, too, that he was sending it to multiple women. You know what I mean? Like, and you can only imagine how other people respond, but I'm sure there were some women on the other side that were like, oh, whatever, if I could leave work right now or something. Like, you were kind of shocked because that's not really how you get down.
No.
But some women must get down like that or else, you know, it's like fishing. It's a weird way of dating, I'll tell you that.
God bless. And
honestly, I'm pretty sure I know the last time I sent anything too risque. And it was to the wrong person.
That's right. I actually remember you telling me that story.
It was like a Sunday morning. I was like, what are you doing, Nick? Who are you? Go to church.
Well, first of all, don't ever do it when you're half asleep. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Don't do it at all.
Well, that's right. That's right. You shouldn't.
But actually, I think that if you and somebody are into each other and y'all are dating and y'all have been intimate with each other and you're being flirty like that, while it is risque to do between the two people, it does, like in today's world, it is what it is.
You know what's interesting? Okay, so I admit I have sent a picture before of myself, the top half, the bottom half. Oh no, never. But I will say this. I think that certain relationships bring it out in certain people. So I have sent a picture like that in the past, but in my current relationship, Maybe once when I was really feeling myself, but that was like one time, but I've never sent one since.
And for the most part, like you said, it's indicative of your relationship though. Like y'all don't, that's not y'all's flirtatious area.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't flirting through texting or yeah.
You know, and he's not like that. And I'm trying to think, he's never sent me anything.
Well, that's a good thing then, because at least you know he's not sending it to multiple women.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's sent me like a shirtless pic after him working out, going for a run, and I was like, oh, babe, you look good, you know? But I'll be honest, I did think, did he send that picture to other girls? That was the first thing I thought of. So, you know, it's funny, I don't get those pictures anymore. Which is fine. I mean, I would rather see it
in real
life.
Eventually, when I'm in a relationship, and I have a feeling in my most comfortable relationship, she and I will be able to, throughout the day at some point or another, be flirtatious intimately through Snapchat also or through text or whatever.
Do you want that kind of relationship?
Well, I don't want a relationship based in that, no.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think like the one guy that would send those pictures, that is how the relationship was based, where
for sure.
Now... it's not.
And so when it does happen, it is kind of risky and fun.
Or it's like,
weird.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Like, well, now we've been dating so long, I'm like, oh, no. If I were to get a picture like that, I'd be like,
he'd have to be creative. You know what I mean? Like, the longer in the relationship, I think that, and that's the other part of it.
I think I'd rather just have him send me pictures of his lunch at this point.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
What's in your lunchbox there, buddy?
Hey. Speaking of shirtless pics. Let's talk about Miranda Lambert.
Oh, yeah, her husband.
Yeah, so she likes to post the pictures of her husband on Instagram of him, doing various tasks. Like, what was it? Hang on, pause.
Like he was around
like
the house.
Like doing stuff around the house. Like, what was he doing? Yard work in one of the things. And I got to talk to her this week about her new album, and then, you know, she's done all of this other stuff, like has this auction for her Mutt Nation Foundation.
Wait, so you asked her about the shirtless pictures with her boyfriend or husband?
Yeah. Well, because, you know, she posts a lot. I said, you know, what would I ask her? I think I just said, yeah, we've been seeing a lot of your shirtless husband lately. And
oh, here, well, let's actually play what she said.
Your husband, Brendan, we've been seeing him shirtless in the yard and many other places lately.
Yeah, I'm a creeper wasp for sure.
girlfriend, I'm so, okay, so you have a younger man. I have a younger boyfriend as well. They look good with their shirt on. I mean, let's be proud of that.
Yeah, I'm all about it.
You know why I think that she likes to show off her husband like that?
Why is that? Because he looks good without a shirt on?
Well, yeah, but also I think that it empowers her a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
Like, she's like, because she knows people are going to talk about her anyway. Because she said in the People Magazine interview, people for some reason are interested in her private life. And she's like, I'm such a boring person. I don't know what they really want to know about me, you know. But like, I feel like it's like, oh, y'all want something? Here. And he kind of enjoys it too, you know, because like he enjoys being showed off, you know.
Oh, of course.
And he probably, they probably sit back and, I imagine they sit back and laugh about the comments, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, I don't know why she's so surprised, but I mean, she and Blake were that country music darling couple, and then it all came crashing down, and it's like, well, and, you know, she's had an interesting dating life since then, so seeing her
But that's what I'm saying, though, like, in her everyday normal life, just like, I mean, obviously, just like me, I'm sure it's kind of boring. Like, she has the dogs, she has the animals, she has, you know, her foundation, she makes to make music, but in reality, it's not like she's doing anything that crazy. Like, she's got out of the truck to walk to the grocery store, and there's people. It's like, what is she supposed to do? Go out to eat every day? Like,
right. Well, I mean, it's part of being a celebrity.
Yeah. And so what else did y'all talk about? Oh, you kind of brought up the part about how she was dating a...
Yeah, well, I just think it's interesting, you know. Okay, so she was with Blake for so many years. Then she dated the Anderson East guy. Then it was the guy from the Turnpike Troubadours. And then all of a sudden...
Now, that was also... There was a lot to that. We don't know how serious that relationship was, right?
Well, I mean...
Okay, for another podcast. Yeah. Okay, so clearly she was dating musicians.
Yeah, so, you know, and a lot of musicians date musicians, but it's just kind of crazy. You go from dating other famous people, other musicians in your line of work, to all of a sudden this random person who is not famous at all, and he's a cop. Well, in New York City. Like, what the heck?
Well, yeah. You know, the other thing I think about that, and it just kind of came to me now, is we know how close and tight-knit the music industry really is. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what she also didn't want. She was tired of dating someone that other people that her peers were maybe dated or knew of. Or, like, her friend's friend used to date this guy. And it's like, oh, great. Now they want to know about my relationship, you know?
Yeah, I can see that.
But you actually did talk. Let's play the part from the interview where you kind of asked her about the musician to cop.
You went from musicians and all of a sudden, bam, New York City cop. Like, you totally flipped the script, sister.
Life happens when you're making plans.
I feel like you're more giddy and you have this different glow about you in this relationship.
Yeah, I'm just happy. I think for all the things that have gone on in my life, not just meeting Brendan, but just getting to a better place. It's been a journey, but I think that's part of a journey as a woman and being in your mid-30s. And, you know, life just kind of takes its twists and turns and you navigate through it, and I think that I'm finally in a really good place.
And quite frankly, Aaron, I'm super happy to hear that she said that, because first, two things she said there that I think are the most telling. Yeah. A, she said she's happy.
Yes.
And like, that is, it gives me goosebumps, actually. Not a lot of people, I don't believe, can say that all the time.
No.
You know, like, we all go through times in our life, and I listened to Weight of My Wings, that double disc, and that came from a place of unhappiness. There was happiness in there, but she was discovering stuff about her life and kind of recovering from the Blake Shelton divorce, you know. And I think she had a much harder time finding who she was after the Blake Shelton divorce than Blake did. I mean, I think that's clear.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, and I just think girls, we feel more. We think about it. We analyze. Not saying that guys don't, but I just think they... God, what was I listening to today? It was something about relationships and how guys avoid it. And so they just move on and they try to avoid the feeling. And I was like, oh my God, I am not crazy. I you know what I mean? It's like, I know that even after I got divorced, I moved on probably slightly quicker into a relationship. But that deeply affected me for many years.
Yeah, and I think Miranda had every intention with Blake of that being it. She didn't see it coming down the way it did, you know. I don't believe anyone sets out into a marriage thinking, oh, I bet you this one's going to end in divorce, but we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Right? I hope not. Maybe some people do.
Maybe some people do.
You know, but, you know, and then at the end there when she said, where you kind of told her, you know, asked her about, or she saw about life happens while you're trying to make plans. So the story that I read about how she met
Brendan
was that he was working security, Good Morning America, when she was performing that day, and her security and her bandmates, the Pistolannies, spotted him and kind of chatted him up and then kind of set the things in motion. That's the way I heard the story.
Yeah, that's what I heard too. And I just think that's kind of funny how that all works out. And now they're married and yeah.
I'm sure he's happy. Like, because I mean, I guarantee you she's made with the songwriting money she's made in her life and record sales and everything. I don't think she's hurting.
He's taking a leave of absence.
He is?
Yeah. And because I think he's going on tour with her. So he's taking a leave of absence.
I mean, what could that cop salary really be?
In New York, I don't know how long he's been a cop, but I heard that starting salaries are about 65.
And so New York price of living got to be pretty sky high, too. So if I were him, I'd be like, yeah, baby, I'm a trained security guard. Put me on the payroll and I'll sleep in your bed.
Yeah, why not?
I'm here for it. Pistol loaded. Talking about his firearm there.
Right.
Yes. I mean, because he's security. I mean, because that's what I would do. Like, if I had, let's say that I was on tour and I was single and then I made, you know, found this female cop and I was like, man, I just really like you a lot. You want to be my security? You could be my Mrs. Officer and we could just roll through and then she's letting him put it on the payroll.
I feel like isn't there a Lil Wayne song?
There is a Lil Wayne song about that. We put the handcuffs on me. Yeah, he was a little more graphic about it.
Slightly.
But another one of the things that you talked to her about was her auction she had for Mutt Nation. Is she selling, like, memorabilia, or is she selling stuff from her house?
So, well, both, kind of. I mean, it's, like, outfits that she's worn on stage, stuff that she's just worn in real life, and she cleaned out her closet and decided instead of giving it to the Goodwill, why not make some money on it and give it to my charity?
Here, we'll let her explain it herself.
Yeah, and it's my actual things. I mean, I cleaned out my closet a couple of months back, and I didn't know what to do with all of it because it was, like, not just kind of giveaway pile. It was, like, stuff that was really nice and that I had a memory connected to. And so eBay took it on because it was a lot easier for me to get rid of stuff that I kind of have a memory in, knowing that it's going to help the dogs. So, like, all the proceeds go to Mutt Nation Foundation. eBay is doing the whole thing for us. And, you know, it's good. I mean, of course, it's hard for me to part with boots every pair, but I did it.
So it does sound like a kind of an estate sale a little bit.
I mean, and some of the stuff is, like, really nice. There is, like, high fashion lambskin skirts. The last time I looked, and one of them was like $800. There's tons of Daisy Dukes. Apparently she has a Daisy Duke and boot addiction.
Like every other country girl in Texas?
Apparently. And you can get some of her jeans that even says, like, what size. I was looking at some of the boots I thought were really cute. Her shoes are a little too big for me, so yeah.
So what size shoe does she wear?
8.5 or a 9.
Wow, that sounds like a big girl foot.
I know, right? And she's like, I think she's like my height. I'm 5'4".
Do you know if she has dimples on the small of her back?
I don't. Stop. I know where you're going. No. Uh-uh.
But I know someone who does know about that.
Yep.
I guess we could talk about Kenny Chesney's, because he and Ed Sheeran wrote Tip of My Tongue, and you got to talk to him about writing that song. And I would say that song might be the most innuendo. What's the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's exactly. Suggestive. I mean, if you listen to the words of that song and you're like, I mean, let's just be honest. I can taste the ocean on the tip of my tongue.
I think he's talking about the Pacific.
I mean, it can get nasty.
Like, what kind of oceans are we talking about?
Right.
And what are, like, you swimming in?
Yeah. And what is the other line about it's a long way down to your soul? It's like, where's my soul, Kenny? My soul?
Yeah. And I'm just going to say the word that rhymes with soul is whole. And
I was like, where's he going with that?
I'm just saying, like, it is a risque song.
It is. And so when I talked to him, you know, I said, you know, that song is kind of sassy and you guys were really feeling it that day. And
well, here, we'll play what he said.
I'm very proud of it. I wrote the song with Ed Sheeran, and Ed and I had never met, you know, until we actually met to write this song. We had a lot of people that we both knew in our lives when it comes to the touring world, and they said, you guys need to write together. And that's how it happened. I mean, really, he is so good and has so much talent. I had the idea for Tip of My Tongue for a couple of years, and then we got in a room together, and I told him the story, and the first thing out of his mouth was, you know, I love the dimples and the small of your back. And I went, okay, we got a first first line, and then we'll just go.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I feel like when you were writing that song with Ed, you guys were feeling sassy that day because it is, yeah, it is very, what's the word? It's just, yeah, saucy. It's a saucy song.
Yeah, and it's a true story. Which makes it even better.
All right, Aaron, so it sounds like they know this. It sounds to me that Ed Sheeran and Kenny Chesney both knew the person.
No, I don't think so. Not at all. Well, first of all,
the way he laughed.
I think he was just talking about, because if you got to hear the entire interview when he said that he wrote the song with Ed Sheeran and he started telling him the story and then Ed came up with the first line. I don't think he.
And the first line is. The dimples on the back, right?
Yeah, the dimples on the small of your back.
Kenny Chesney, tip of my tongue lyrics. He said, I love the dimples in the small of your back, the way they're speaking to me just like that.
So I feel like when they met, Kenny walked in the room and he was like, let me tell you a story.
Let me about this girl last night or this woman that I was just with.
Yeah, and he went off and then Ed Sheeran came up with that line and then it was like,
Because
I'll be honest. I feel like I made Kenny Chesney blush, and frankly, he made me blush.
Yeah, so well, I mean, the song made me blush.
Yeah.
And
knowing that it's a true story, and it came straight out of Kenny Chesney's mouth, that is a little something else.
And love me fast, kiss me slow, hang on to anything you can hold. The man is bald.
Well, he's got some big muscles.
Randomly, that made me think about Tim McGraw. His new book's out, right?
Mm-hmm.
I need to buy that. I want to read it. I saw Faith Hill's post about it where she was talking about like how the mental challenges he overcame and like apparently it's like psychological and physical.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think a little bit spiritual in there, maybe not like, but
well, there's no doubt he's definitely touched into his spiritual life in his older age.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, if you listen to, I need whiskey or a shot of Jesus or what was that? Whiskey or Jesus?
Yeah.
Man, what was it called? Neon Church.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Neon Church? Yeah, because there was a rapper that had a song called Neon Cathedral. The bars are open later than the chapel or something like that. It was like super deep about how people turn to alcohol because it's easy to turn to versus turning to religion because you have to seek it out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But
all right.
I know, we took a really crazy turn there.
Yeah, I was we're talking about Kenny Chesney, and all of a sudden it's about Jesus.
And Tim McGraw. Wait, but actually that's full circle if we go all the way back to the beginning because of John Crist.
Oh, yeah, there you go. And the end of our podcast.
Yeah, so it was a wild one, some admittance. We talked about sending the snaps, the dirty snaps and dirty pictures.
And I mean, it'll come up every time.
Yeah, somehow dating and...
social media... It always comes up in our podcasts.
But I mean, I think it's relative to the life we live, you know, like, mm-hmm. Hell, I spend a lot of time of my waking hours on social media, less than 5 hours a day, I'm proud to say, because of the iPhone tracker.
That'll get you.
I have daily reads that tell me how much screen time I had, and my goal is to keep it going down.
Oh,
like, I don't even know.
I haven't even checked mine, but I know it's not. I mean, probably Facebook is the most, but because I don't ever look at. I really try hard not to look at Instagram.
Yeah, it's tough.
I don't want it to
just reels you in.
Yeah, and I don't want to like get down on myself because I caught myself the other day. I kid you not. I was looking at somebody's wedding picture, and it was this guy friend of mine went to this girl's wedding, and her wedding dress. Well, let's just say her boobs were popping out. And I was like, oh, wow, that's very interesting. And I went down the rabbit hole of, like, looking at her and her friends. And then I started comparing myself. And I'm like, got to get out of here. All right, going home for the day. Out.
Yeah,
turn it off.
Yeah, I think I've expressed about Instagram how I'm trying to figure it out a little bit. I did the question game the other day and had people, like, message me where we met. And it made me feel really good. It was the first time I thoroughly enjoyed and laughed at Instagram and laughed with my friends. And it was a good refreshing moment because I was like, wow, there are a lot of people on here I do know. Because I don't feel like I know anybody on Instagram sometimes. Like, I feel like everyone's kind of like this other presentation of themselves. I don't even know myself on Instagram, really. You know, like...
Well, I think everybody's trying to... be something.
Yeah, trying to put the brand forward. But anyways, all right, so another successful podcast. Till next week,
Maybe we come up with another topic that turns into eight.
Yeah, and feel free to send us any messages or comments if you listen to the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. I know that people are listening to it because I got text messages about the last one. So,
yeah. All right.
But it's okay. They were good texts.
Okay,
and,
that's good.
And she knows who it is, and it's all good.
All right.
All right, that's enough of that one.